and welcome to this month's episode of Women of Color Empowered Show, Kimberly Lee Miner's new show, video, and podcast. She is the CEO of Women of Color Retail Alliance, an amazing organization, and she'll tell you more about that. But we are thrilled to have today's guest, Jo Miller, a passionate fashion educator, consultant, and workforce professional committed to bridging the gaps between love of fashion education and professional success through accessible and inclusive learning pathways. And Jo has an amazing story. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and Incandescent TV. I cannot wait to hear this conversation. Take it away, Kimberly.
Thank you, Hope. Thank you so much. So I'm super excited for this conversation as well. I met Jo. We were on a panel together for Black Footwear Forum. And, you know, everybody thinks they've got to overcome something in life or have an amazing story to tell. But as we introduced ourselves, I think I was just in awe because I admire people who, A, are transparent and want to share their stories, because I feel like we all grow when we hear other people's stories. But more importantly, I was just in awe of Jo as like probably one of the strongest women I have ever met. And her story, it has stuck with me. You know it has, because I've talked about her so much. I'm surprised her ears aren't ringing. I talk about you a lot, Jo, because you inspired me. And so I wanted this to happen so that you can inspire other people, because your bravery, your tenacity, and your raw intellect and strategic thinking for yourself is, I don't know, it's bar none. So thank you for agreeing to have this conversation with us. And I just think people are going to be blown away by how special you are. So I guess let's just start from the beginning, because the story that you shared, I don't even want to describe it. I think that it's powerful when it comes from you. And our journeys, I don't think we really live them. Sometimes we're just moving through, and you really lived, you are living your life. And I want you to share that. So do you mind just starting at the beginning, like your journey to you?
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm really honored that you asked me. And yeah, I'm happy to share my story. I guess I'll just start kind of where I usually start, which is that from the ages of 9 to 20, I was raised in an Amish community. So that already is somewhat unusual within the fashion industry. I do know of one other person who was raised Amish and is a designer, but it's a very unusual pathway. So prior to that, I was kind of raised in your somewhat traditional, non-denominational homeschool family. My parents started becoming interested in off-the-grid living. They had kind of decided, well, the best place to learn that was probably with the Amish. And so we moved out there, like I said, when I was 9. I had 5 younger siblings at that point. I'm the oldest of 7 total. So we moved out there. And it was, what followed was a decade in that community. And while I do appreciate some of the things that I learned, it was also very much a struggle. I'm sure if I'd been born there, it maybe wouldn't have been as much of a struggle. But coming in at, you know, 19 years old, completely different lifestyle. My parents fully embraced the no electricity, no running water. You know, we hauled our drinking water from a mile away in the back of a wagon. So there's some things I appreciate about learning how to live with simplicity and the value of hard work. And I have a lot of passion around sustainability and eco-conscious thinking. A lot of that comes from how I was raised as well, because, right, you don't throw anything away. There's a use for everything. But at the same time, it did cause a lot of things that I have had to work hard to overcome. The biggest for me being the undervalue of women and what they bring to the table. And then from a professional standpoint, the lack of education. So within the Amish community, most Amish communities, I don't want to, I'm kind of generalizing here, but typically education only goes to eighth grade. And
For
it's
men and women, or just
for
for
men and women. And even at that, it's they themselves teaching each other. So it's not necessarily a hardcore education. And so I had been homeschooled most of my life, and then eighth grade I did attend their school. So I had a small taste of the classroom experience, but again, it was just, themselves teaching each other with some minor education on the part of the teacher. And so, yeah, my parents were like, "Oh, okay, like that's just when you're done." And I'm like, "But I don't want to be done." Like, I have always really enjoyed learning new things. As I've gotten older, and within the past 5 years or so, I did get diagnosed with ADHD and autism. So that somewhat explains like my drive and my interest. I was able to kind of just continue learning new things. So looking back, it makes sense now. At the time, all I knew is I like learning, and why do you want me to stop? So yeah, I decided that I just wasn't ready to quit learning. And again, we did have a vehicle, but we just the one. And so my father would use that for work. And we lived 40 acres in the middle of the woods. So trying to figure out how to get that additional learning was difficult because my parents refused to have anything to do with a public school system. And they kind of got to that eighth grade, "Oh, you're done with eighth grade. Like, you're good. We're done with you now."
Joe, what was expected for your next step after eighth grade? Then you start working on the land, or what does that look like?
At least in my family, it was, yeah, now you're just helping on the property, you're doing whatever. Eventually you get married, you have kids. There was no real like big plan. And at the time, we didn't necessarily expect to be leaving the community. So I didn't really know what the next step was. I just kind of assumed it would be what everybody else's would be, is like eventually I'd get married and have kids, which did happen, but just not there. So yeah, what I ended up doing is when I could get somebody to take me to the local library, it was about 20 minutes away, I would do that. I would borrow the maximum allowed number of books, bring them home. Occasionally, if I could get left at the library, I would sneak onto the computers and try and figure out how they worked. But it was a little confusing, so I mostly stuck to books. I did have some textbooks. So both of my parents did attend college, and they had kept some of their
Interesting.
textbooks and brought them along. My dad loved books too, so he had retained some of the books that he had collected. So basically, ninth to 12th grade, there was no supervised learning, but I was determined. I created my own schedule. I used whatever quizzes were in textbooks, and I did not allow myself to look at the answers until I was done. Looking back, I do kind of wonder how I was that disciplined at, 14, 15, 16, but I was determined that I was going to do whatever I could in order to gain more information.
That's such an important thing to emphasize because, both you and I are educators, in addition to the other professional things we do. And I think we were talking about how young people, and I hate to like lump them together, but I would say a large percentage of young people, they don't want to read. Like they don't want to do the extra work. And so that's why I think it's important to emphasize you didn't have the opportunity to go to school beyond eighth grade, but you knew you needed to learn. And so you got books, you challenged yourself, right? And so again, it's there by the grace of God, right? They take it for granted that education and all the things that go with it are granted to everyone. And then they don't use the gift they have of education. And I just think that's important. Like that was one of the things that really stood out to me. When we first met, like you understood the value.
I have a lot of conversations with my students because we do provide them with textbooks. And the number of times, I was just talking about this the other day, the number of times they'll be like, "Well, remember when the textbook where it says da 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 da?" And I'm like, "Yeah, we didn't read it." I'm like, how do I emphasize the importance, at least in my mind, of not just reading, but reading and retaining, like comprehending. Because if you lose access to everything else, if, I don't know, all the electricity in the world goes out and you don't have access to anything else, you still have books and you can still learn. And so being able to read something, comprehend what it's trying to teach you, and then figuring out how to implement whatever it is you've then learned is, in my mind, a very vital skill in education and in life.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you're going to the library, you're reading, and then you get to 20. What happens?
So at 20, mostly my dad, this is not unusual by any means, but in Amish culture, right? The husband and the father is in charge, whatever decisions he makes, that's kind of what goes for the family. Well, he decided that he was not necessarily bored, but he wanted something different. I suspect, looking back, my dad had ADHD because he kind of bopped around to all kinds of stuff. So we stuck that out for a decade, and I think he was just ready for a change. I also have a feeling he was searching for something because he also kind of like popped around to different religion, not religions, but different, at least different aspects of Christianity, the Amish being one of them. But yeah, he became more interested in Judaism. His mother refuses to talk about it, but we suspect that his mother's family is Jewish. Her last name's Cohen. It's kind of hard to be a Cohen and not be Jewish, but that's, she was raised Southern Baptist. That's all she knew. Yeah, I know, unusual. But so he became kind of interested in that. And that's what actually led us from Tennessee to Ohio.
Okay.
Is somehow he ended up with a connection with somebody in Bexley. Hmm. They're like, yeah, there's a great Jewish community up here. Come up and, you know, explore, talk to them. And so, yeah, he just kind of decided we were moving to Ohio. For the rest of the family, I think it was a bit of a struggle. It's for my younger siblings, especially, that's really all they had known. You know, I was the oldest at 9 moving into that lifestyle. So they're all much younger than that. But for me, I was excited because I knew I didn't want to stay in that lifestyle. I was pretty much a goody two shoes. I was very compliant, but also on the inside, I was like, no, I cannot be somewhere where I'm told I can't learn and I can't do this and I can't have a business. And I just really struggled. So when he told me that, I was like screaming for joy on the inside because I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew it was getting me out of there and I would at least have more opportunity. So yeah, we moved to Ohio. I got a job as a nanny. And did that for several years and then decided to attempt online school. It did not work out very well for me. I had no clue how education in general, the educational system, let alone college, worked. And I really, really struggled because it was online. There was not really good access to advisors or anything like that.
Did you do online because you didn't have the formal education? And that's
I did. Yeah, I didn't even know what to look for, who to talk to. I just knew that online was an option because somebody told me it was. And I was also working at the time and still living at home trying to help manage like my siblings. And then they were enrolled in the Jewish day school. So I had a little bit of kind of talking to them, okay, what's school like? You know, because I was too old at that point. But I got a little bit of information from them, be like, which was still not like maybe a typical public school education, but it was close enough. So I did attempt to do that. I dropped out after a semester just because at that point, by the time I did that, I had decided to move out of my family's home. I was on my own. And so I was working as many hours as I possibly could in order to keep a roof over my head and keep myself fed because I didn't have any financial support from my family. And so it got to be too much. And I was like, I'm really confused by the system. I don't know what's going on. I can't afford to take the time to do the homework. I was trying to juggle it, just couldn't make it work. And so I ended up dropping out. Before that, though, I had a chance to take part in the Walt Disney World internship program. They have a college program you go for, at least when I went, you went for 6 months. You were placed in some area in one of the parks, and then you could take basically business classes on the side because they have an accredited university there.
Right.
And so I did that. That was the first time I'd been away from home. And that I really credit that to being the moment I realized, oh, there is a world outside of everything I've experienced so far, because I was around hundreds, if not thousands, of other college students with different experiences from around the world. And so that was kind of my first taste of, I don't know, freedom, if you will, and independence, because I lived on my own down there for 6 months, which was scary, but I did it. And that was what really planted the seed as well, is, oh, I can live on my own. I can, there's career pathways out there. I don't have to just do what I was always kind of expected and that I didn't know anything else from.
That's another important point. When you talk to young people, they at 17, 18, people are like, well, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? And they expect them to have this path just laid out and ready to go, right? And here you are, A, you don't have access to traditional education. So then you have to figure out and fill the gaps yourself. Now you are in this incredible program and you're like, oh my goodness, like a child. I imagine you like a kid in a candy store, like so much information, so much access. I didn't even know all like any of this existed, right? Like wonder. Yeah. And still not knowing what you want to do, but there's like all these opportunities in front of you, which could be overwhelming. Were you overwhelmed?
It was very overwhelming, but I also was somehow able to recognize, okay, this is an opportunity that doesn't just happen all the time. And like I said, during that time is when I ended up having to drop out. And so I was able to complete my program, but that's when or it was right after that, actually, that I ended up, once I went back home and went back to my regular job and everything, it was a little too much. But so it was overwhelming. Thousands of people are there a day, lots of sound, lots of noise. I mean, it was so different from my growing up in the woods. It was even different from, my experience that I'd had in Columbus up to that point. But yeah, the friends that I make, I am still very, very close with. They are my best friends. And one especially, my friend Lindsay, she was the one who kind of pulled me out of, because I refused to wear shorts and all this stuff, and I could barely handle wearing pants. And she was like, but why are you still letting what was told to you 3 years ago impact what you're doing today? You're not there anymore. Those people can't see you. And even if they did. So I was like, oh, that's an option. I can wear what I want. I can come up with my own outfits. I don't have to be restricted to five colors and two dress styles. And so, yeah, that program, I think, was, no, I don't even think it was life-changing and had a huge impact on me being able to recognize what was out there.
So you go through the program. So did you develop your sewing and design skills while you were Amish?
Yeah, so I had already started to learn how to hand sew and embroider a little bit when I was a little younger. But yeah, once we were in the Amish, that's really where I had to learn to sew and make patterns out of necessity. And I ended up being the main person who made all the clothing for my family, even at 11 and 12.
Wow.
And so I did have some wonderful women in the community that took me under their wing and took the time to help me understand the concepts. Again, limited pattern making because we were only allowed a couple of styles,
Right.
but it was a really important foundation, in my opinion, especially on to the technical side of fashion. I would kind of in secret kind of design new things, draw out some sketches. I didn't expect them to ever go anywhere simply because the Amish are not known for their love of fashion. Yeah, I didn't necessarily think that would go anywhere, but I recognized that at least the coming up with the ideas like filled something in me, like it f or fulfilled something. Like I just felt it was fun. It was fun to do. It was the one thing that, was in my brain that I could kind of get out on paper, but I never expected it to go anywhere. So once I was out, I continued to sew things for myself, for friends. And over the years, people kept encouraging me, as they usually do, oh, you should do this as a business. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I do not think I'm skilled enough for this. Until in Columbus, I started talking to more and more people who did work in the fashion industry. And they would look at myself and like, no, you know what you are doing. I
Right.
think you should consider this. And so Yeah, I kind of just continued doing a few things here and there, little cosplays, little dresses for, friends
Okay.
that are having a bridal shower or something along that line.
So you're playing it down.
Probably.
You're playing it down, because you took that skill, much like at every step of your life, you have found a way to make it bigger, to move it forward. And you took that skill that you learned as a young girl, and you were so adept at it and so talented that you got a what? A teaching job at a college. Now, this is
Yeah.
a person with an eighth grade education, dropped out of college. So tell us about that, because you just graduated, and I think people need to know about what you're doing after that. You took that talent that you are downplaying and you went to where?
Yeah, so I continued using, I found out about YouTube and all these other different resources and kind of fell back on the skills that I learned as a kid and really started kind of teaching myself, looking for mentors, networking, and everything. And so, yeah, that led to an acquaintance that I had through a networking event, through Dayton Fashion Week, actually, who emailed me one day and she was like, "Hey, we're launching this program at Hocking College. It's a 2-year associate's degree, fashion design and retail merchandising, and I'd love to have you on board." And I'm like, "That would be amazing, but I can't." And she's like, "Why not?" And I was like, "I have no formal education, let alone in fashion." And she goes, "No, you don't understand. You have good information. You have had to work," because she knew a little of my story over, as different times we had met and talked. She goes, "You have something that I think would be vitally important for these students to see, because my boss comes at it from a formally trained fashion school." She goes, "You are coming from the opposite. You had to learn everything. You had to figure it out on your own. You had to troubleshoot. And that, I think, would be a really important balance for students to see. So let's try." So she had talked to her boss. He talked to his boss. And what they ended up doing is they brought in kind of a third party person. I had to send a bunch of stuff, any classes I had that I could remember, any classes I took, mentors I talked to, trainings, things I had done, basically build out a little portfolio of what I knew how to do. And they reviewed it and basically said they didn't see any reason why they couldn't hire me based on real world experience.
That's awesome because there's so much to real life experience.
I still get chills talking about it
Yeah, of
because
course.
if not for my boss, Coral Wadle, I honestly don't know where I would be right now. I would still be doing my thing. But this opportunity to come in not only led to what you just mentioned, my recent graduation from that program, but a reignited passion for sharing what I knew. Because I'd done it all through the years, little one-on-ones, little sewing lessons, knitting lessons. When I did launch my own brand a few years ago, it kind of got derailed because of COVID. But through it, I launched an internship program where I mostly worked with students from OSU. OSU kind of looked at, saw that I had a business that was legitimate, approved me as an intern opportunity for students. And so I had done that for a few years, but still like one-on-one, one or two people at a time. So they kind of looked at all of that. Then they said, "Yeah, let's hire her." And so we just graduated our third class. So it launched in 2020 at the height of COVID. And then I came on in 2021, and I have been there ever since. I've gotten really lucky in that I have been able to have a big hand in developing coursework and really having a say in what I think students need to know, not just from the kind of recognized standard things that are typically taught, but also how do you troubleshoot? How do you look at something and figure out what's wrong and fix it? Rather than freaking out, "Oh, my line drawings are not exactly correct." And no, okay, then how do you fix
How do
it?
you fix it?
Let's learn how to use gut instinct here. You've got the base knowledge. Now, can you figure out where to go from here on your own? And which is, I think, where I do come in handy, because that's all I knew was this doesn't look right. Now I got to figure it out.
Well, you knew it in fashion, you knew it in life too, because you were like, this lifestyle doesn't really seem right, or at least not right for me. So I need to make a change. So I know we're closing in on time. And the one thing I just wanted to, there are two things. One, now that you've graduated, you are considering a school that I talk about all the time because it's an incredible program, LIM College in New York, right? So have you heard from them? What's your
Yes,
thought?
I was accepted. They said,
Yes.
that, yeah, I got the email a few days ago. They said that my transcript was exactly what they like to see and offered me a position starting in September and gave me a grant and some assistance with books and supplies, surprisingly, which I wasn't expecting. But
Fantastic.
yeah, I am very excited. I think my focus is going to continue to be growing my educational workforce skills because I think this is now, from all this stuff that I've gone through, I think this is where I've landed is I think ideally where I need to be because making an impact through my story and through my skills to kind of guide this next generation. I think is really important. I have strong opinions on many things within the industry and within education, having come to both of those from the outside, on how things I could see that need changed and that need done better or differently. The biggest being the issue with inclusivity. I think there's just an issue, and that's not just, race or gender or culture based, but also looking at neurodivergence. Looking at skills-based training, looking at people that don't have formal education but have real-world experience. I know there's more conversation happening about it, and there are some slow changes happening, but my hope is that by now having the opportunity to kind of further my own formal education a little bit, it'll give me a little more insight on how I can actually make more of an impact and then come back and do things like what I'm doing with the Columbus Fashion Alliance right now with the workforce development program and provide other options for students who maybe just don't have the option of going to a 4-year or even a 2-year school right now. What other options can we provide as fashion professionals? Because the industry needs it. The industry needs a fresh breath of air. I think Virgil Abloh actually had a huge impact on that because he came in as somebody who did not have that formal experience, ended up as creative director at Louis Vuitton, and really pushed hard for skills-based hiring because that was his experience. And I think him getting to where he did and being as open about it and as forceful about what he saw needing to change has made a lot of impact on the industry. So I'm hoping to be a small part of that myself and provide these more accessible options and opportunities for students.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you. And this conversation has been wonderful. And I have some takeaways. So one is where you are is not where you start, right? There is a path to get there, and don't be afraid of all the twists and turns, right? Number two is if you see something, say something and be a change maker. And number three is your story is important, and you never know who can learn from your experiences. So be willing to share.
If I
Yeah,
can add
please.
to that really quickly, I would say too to anybody listening, don't be afraid to let others learn from you, but also don't be afraid to learn from others. I think I mentioned this earlier in my little write-up for you that I truly believe no opportunity is too small. You can't turn up your nose because you don't know what that thing might eventually lead to. And so if something comes your way, be wise about it. Don't just jump at every opportunity. Be wise about it and think it through, but don't turn your nose up at it because you think it's not good enough for you yet,
Yes.
because that could lead to something later on down the road. And everything that's on your resume is there for a reason. You'll see that later on down in life, even if you don't see it in the moment. Everything that you learn for a reason and can be applied in some way.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Joe Miller. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. And I'm Kimberly Miner, and This has been fantastic. So empowered women, empower women.
Truly amazing. I understand why she was so inspirational to you, Kimberly. So thank you, Joe, for being part of this series, and best of luck to you. I have a bunch of magazines that I would love to feature you in, Kimberly, together, because I think your wisdom, insight, and inspiration will impact so many people. Like, don't give up is my biggest takeaway. So fantastic audience. You are listening and watching the Women of Color Empowered Show with host Kimberly Lee Miner. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV. Please stay tuned for more from Jo Miller, because we know that she is going to do remarkable things and inspire generations. Thank you all. Thank you, Kimberly. Thank you, Jo. Best of luck to you. We'll talk to you all next month on the Women of Color Empowered Show. Thank you.